Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we sing this song as a prayer to the Lord, then it's very meaningful. It's not just a song. It's a sing unto the Lord. Don't just sing, but we sing unto the Lord. It's very important. Right. What are we going to share this morning? You said it's a conclusion. Would you like to give the conclusion? There are too many things to share concerning the matter of the priesthood. Actually, every point in the Bible, in the scripture, it's about the priesthood. Right. Even from the gospel through the epistles, all the way to the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
These are just helping us and teaching us to reach that point. Right, to reach that point. So, for example, Philippians, for me to live is Christ. And Paul desired to know him, to know the power of his resurrection, to know the fellowship of his suffering. Even he said to be conformed to his death. It's not about teaching. Now, Paul is not talking about doctrines. Right? His desire is to know the Lord. His desire is to reach the goal. Right? He said, not that I've been perfected now. Not that I've already been perfected. Reach the goal. No, he said, I pursue after. Are you there already? No. That means we're not ready yet. We are waiting for the Lord to come. But what is the Lord waiting for, BJ?
Waiting for BJ.
He got it. He's waiting for us to be ready. And this is what Peter said. Why the Lord delayed his coming? Because he desired to see more people to be saved. He desired to see us to be perfected. We are not ready yet. We are not ready yet. So if we are not ready yet, then the Lord cannot come. So if we want the Lord to come earlier and quicker, then we need to prepare ourselves for him to come. If we are not ready, he cannot come. Right. And like quite a few brothers have already shared, the goal of God is to make us a kingdom of priests. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord mentioned a church for the first time, right? He told Peter, change your name from Simon to Peter. Peter is a stone. From a fisherman to a stone. Oh, that's a big change. Change your name to Peter. This is why Peter, in 1 Peter, says, we're all living stone. He'll never forget the Lord changed his name to Peter. Because the Lord is going to build his church with living stones. With living stones. And he says, but upon this rock, the rock is Christ, I will build my church.
Amen.
Now, what is a church? Exactly. That's why the Lord says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades cannot prevail. That means there is a conflict there going on, a warfare going on. The Lord says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. What you bind on this earth shall be what has been bound in heaven. And what you lose on earth shall be what has been loosed in heaven. That means the church on earth is fully connected to the kingdom, to the throne in the heavens. Just like an embassy of the US, wherever it is. Right? The ambassadors in embassy cannot just do anything they like. They have to do what Washington, D.C. wanted to do, what a president wanted to do. But unfortunately, it's very different today. Everybody's doing what they want to do. That's why it's a big mess. Right. It's a big responsibility. The church is God's kingdom on this earth. It represents God's kingdom. We cannot just do what we want. We have to do what He wants. Who's sitting on the throne? You? The Pope? Who's sitting on the throne? Who can represent the King? The Lord is the King of Kings, right? And the Lord of Lords. But the question is not that He's not the King. The question is, BJ, is He your King? Is it a King in your heart? Do we obey Him? Do we listen to Him? Or we just do whatever we want? If we do whatever we want, then the gates of Hades will prevail. At the end, we wouldn't know what we are building. You look at so many different kinds of churches today. Which one is the right one, brother? You have a choice. Many years ago, I was reading LA Times at that time. Just take a look. There is an advertisement of many churches, and it says on top, go to the church of your choice. Goodness, the church of your choice. Which one are you going to choose, Timo? Go through the list. Close your eyes, point to one, okay. That's it. If you don't do that, how are you going to choose? Which one? You go to one church a week, then you go to 52 churches a year, and then you make your choice. You think the Lord will do that? I will build my church. Only what He builds will prevail. If it's your church, my church, and man's church, the gates of Hades will definitely prevail. So, the church is His kingdom. And as His church, His kingdom on this earth, it must be fully in tune with the kingdom above, with the one sitting on the throne. That's why it's not enough that He's sitting on the throne, but He should be sitting in your heart to be your King. We must listen to Him. If not, I wouldn't know what we're doing on this earth. Yeah. So may the Lord touch your heart. It's not a doctrine, not a teaching. Yes, right. It's not even a profession. It's a kingdom. That's why we need a great heavenly high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And the meaning of the word Melchizedek is what? King of righteousness and King of peace. So sitting on the throne, the Lord is the ruler over the kings of the earth to make all of his enemies his footstool. But as the great heavenly high priest, King of righteousness and peace, who is he ruling over? Over us as Christians? As the priest. If you're not in a priesthood, the great heavenly high priest has not much to say to you, because you don't even recognize him. We talk about the church, the body of Christ. Everybody talks about the body of Christ. It's Ephesians chapter 1, right? The church, the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? George, you know the scripture. What did Paul say? The fullness of the one who fills all in all, but you missed the most important part. God has appointed Christ to be head over a few things.
Over all things.
Some things. No. Most of the things. I can't convince you, right? Head over all things to the church. Who can replace him? BJ, you like to replace him? You want somebody else to replace him? Who is qualified to replace him, to be head over all things? This is why we are today in a big mess. Because Christ is not the head of his church. We are the head of the churches. Right? We who are fallen human beings, so corrupt, so weak. Right? Maybe you can start good because you're poor, but after 10 years, you become a millionaire pastor. You become a billionaire pastor. You have even four jets. Oh, goodness, four jets. You have four bodies. Right? That rich guy there in Nigeria, a pastor. Not only in Nigeria, in the Philippines, exactly the same. Even in the United States. Everywhere. In Singapore. Singapore, the mega church. Make the churches great again. That mega church has over 20,000. And they even had a very big building, and it became part of that building, became a department store, and they even have a theater. And it was in a newspaper that a pastor and some of those high officials there were apprehended by the government in Singapore for money laundering. You know, Singapore is very strict, the government. You want to build such a change. Maybe you can ask even your cousin to come and help build the church. You should go and have a good connection to Trump, and then all the church in Fountain Valley will be famous. How about that? How about that? Christ is not good enough.
Yeah.
You need a White House? Do you have a White House in Nigeria? Everybody likes to be famous. Was the Lord famous when he was on this earth? He was rejected. He was even crucified, put to shame. But we want to be famous, right? You want to be famous? James? King James? We called you New King James when you were young. But now you are Old King James. The Lord did not come just to build such a thing, you know. He wanted to build his kingdom. Yeah. The kingdom of God. Right. Even in the book of Romans, Paul talked about a kingdom. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, not having nice feasts and all that, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. What kind of kingdom are we building? It's the kingdom of God, kingdom of the heavens. It's a very different kingdom. Right. So, what can I say? Right. It's not a doctrine. It's really not a doctrine. You can know so much about the Bible, so what? Right. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, who knows the Bible best? The fishermen? Huh? The scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, the chief priests. They were teachers of the Bible, professional. They're the doctors. What I mean, doctors, is not like this doctor here. This is a PhD. Wow, PhD. How many PhDs? You want to be a PhD in biblical teachings? Paul was one of them, right? He was even the best, and he had the best teacher, Gamaliel. Gamma wasn't here. We have a brother whose name is Gamaliel. He didn't even realize that Gamaliel was a great teacher. But what did Paul do? He threw away everything after he met the Lord in person on the way to Damascus. One meeting with the Lord himself in person caused a big change in this person. It's not a doctrine. Nobody could have convinced this young man at that time. No. And after he met Christ, he says he considered everything that he had learned before as dung. Not only rubbish, worse than rubbish. But what about us today? We boast of how many degrees and doctors. I'm glad you didn't go to meet Trump. Otherwise, you'll be very famous. Dangerous to the church here in Fountain Valley. Oh. But we know somebody more famous.
Amen.
Didn't you?
Amen.
Who would you prefer?
I prefer Tom.
We're not in the White House. We're in Zion, the city of the great king, right?
Amen. Amen.
Where do you prefer to be? Who do you want to meet?
I want to
King Jesus or President T?
King Jesus. Zion.
We should appreciate who our king is.
Yes.
Don't be like the people of Israel, rejected God to be their king. What was the result after rejecting God to be the king? The first replacement was not good, terrible. King Saul. David was good. But he didn't live forever. Solomon is not bad at first, but terrible at the very end. And if you go through all the kings in the scriptures, how many good ones and how many bad ones? You know, one time I was invited by a friend to Joshua Tree there, because that friend, a good friend in the church, was working for the U.S. Army there. So, and during the day he was working. And I was alone in a desert. What am I going to do in a desert? So I made a list of all the kings and kings in Chronicles. Two sides. Who is a good one? Who started good and bad and became bad? And who is a bad king? And had all the lists of the good kings and the bad kings. Can you name one good one and one bad one, the worst? There's none that is really great. Goodness, Manasseh even cut Isaiah to pieces. Can you imagine that? What a king. What an awful king. You want a king like that to cut you into pieces? Chop your head off, hang your two arms up the trees, and that's what happens if you reject God to be your king. Samuel was angry. God says, why are you angry? They didn't reject you to be their king, they rejected me to be their king. You want Christ to be your savior, but what about Christ being your king? Huh? How about that? Who's the king at home? You or Timo? Everybody laughs because we all have the same problem. And then when Jesus came, again they rejected Jesus to be king. Well, even Pilate, Pontius Pilate says, behold your king. And they all scream like crazy people, we have no king apart from Caesar. Caesar is our king. Okay, Caesar is your king. The Lord sent Caesar in the year 70, Prince Titus, he was supposed to be a Caesar after that. He came in, what did he do? He destroyed not only the temple, not only Jerusalem, but the whole country was wiped out of the map for almost 2,000 years. You want to reject Christ to be your king? Who is the head of the church? Name one church whose king is really Christ himself. No wonder we Christians today are in a big mess. I'm sorry to say that. I'm not saying that we are better, no. But if we don't realize the Lord as our head over all things, then we will be the same, in the same condition. Don't just think we are the priests and neglect the great high priests according to the order of Melchizedek. How can we be proper priesthood without a great high priest? And a great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek already appeared long time ago to the father of faith, Abraham. What did he bring to Abraham? Gold and silver? No? Bread and what?
Wine.
Wow. What about today? What do we have in the church? Silver and gold. Bread and wine. Do you appreciate that, really? Do you appreciate? These are the priestly food offered by Melchizedek. So, praise the Lord. There are so many things that we just do traditionally. We don't really understand what we're doing. We have no inward sense and feeling what we are doing.
Yeah.
Sad, but unfortunately, this is what's happening. So now the Lord is recovering this wonderful priesthood. And it's not just to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Of course, this is the first thing mentioned in Leviticus chapters 1 to 7. Right. You have the offerings, the burnt offerings, the meal offering, the peace offerings, together with the wave offering and the heave offering. Then you have the sin offering and you have the trespass offering. And the final offering not mentioned there is a drink offering. These are the offerings that we can bring. But what about the qualification of the priesthood? Of being the priests? What about the consecration? Why is the consecration so complicated in chapter 8? That process. Why are the garments so important? All of these aspects, please, after the conference, go back and review the Word.
Amen.
Go back to the Word. It's all written there.
Amen.
The seriousness of serving God, yeah, it's important. We are dealing with God. Suppose you accepted the invitation to meet Mr. T. I call him Mr. T. You go like that? Or you go like that?
No.
How are you going to see the president?
Maybe like this.
Even like this is not good enough.
He's missing the tie.
You need to put on a tie and a suit and buy new shoes. And make yourself a new pair of glasses. Even a golden frame, huh? To impress him, right? Right?
Yeah, he likes gold.
Oh, he loves gold. He has plenty of them. How about that? But to serve this wonderful God, it is a privilege. Like George says, it's a gift of God.
Amen.
And then the beautiful garments, it's for beauty and glory. And we didn't mention that, and our brother Charles, right, told me, wow, the turban there has a golden plate there. What does it say, Charles? Holiness to the Lord, right here in your foreheads. Not make somebody great again, not make the priesthood great again, but holiness to the Lord. You like to make a hat like that? Huh? Tell the brothers in Germany to make a hat. Okay? Oh, he's there. No, I better not say that because they're going to do it too. But it's only for the priest, okay? Holiness to the Lord. To remind you all the time. To remind you all the time. Trump got the idea. Make America great again. He reminded everybody. But the priests have to be reminded. Holiness unto the Lord. Our whole living.
Amen.
Our whole living. It's very important. Holiness unto the Lord. It's the qualification. It's not the ability, but it's the holiness. To serve God and to worship Him in the holiness of, in the beauty of holiness. In the beauty of holiness. We need to learn this and to be reminded all the time. Even if you're at home, you're praying, spending time with the Lord. We all need to be conscious, putting on Christ. And our brother mentioned, unfortunately, as the very last book of the Old Testament scriptures, it was Malachi. Short, right? Three chapters, some translation change it into four chapters. But it doesn't matter, three or four. But in that last book, the Lord was not happy with the priesthood. They were disrespectful. First thing God says, if I were your God, and if I'm your father, where is my respect? And all that. God was not happy. Don't think God is love. Well, you know, yes, God is love, but he says, whom I love, I accept everything. What did he say? A rebuke and chasten. The more he loves you, the more he will chasten you. That's what he told Laodicea. Whom I love, I chasten. If you really love your children, you don't let them do whatever they want to do, right? Your dad lets you do what you want. You sure? No wonder you're so well behaved. But to chasten in love, not to chasten if you're angry. Whom I love, I chasten. Not just the Lord speaking to Laodicea, but in Hebrews chapter 12, God our Father chasten us as children. Otherwise, we become bastards.
Illegitimate.
But some translations say bastards. It means illegitimate. It's the same meaning. My mother used to joke to me, she says, I picked you up out of the garbage can somewhere. Oh, I said, okay, that's where I came from. Good for nothing. Yeah. Paul boasted that he was a chief sinner. What is your boast? Architect? Got a wonderful job? Perfect job? What is your boast? Remember, we are saved not by works, but by faith. It's a gift of God, by grace. Why? What did Paul write? Right? Yes. So that
no one can boast.
If the Lord saves you because you are such a successful businessman, Joachim, then you can boast. Oh, the Lord saved me because I was so successful. Then you can boast. But no, the Lord save us. Because no one can save himself because of our origin, of our sinful flesh. So that no one can boast. And if anyone boasts, let him boast in Christ Jesus. What do you have to boast for? Your successful parents?
Sometimes,
but there's nothing to boast about. If we consider our life since birth, we have nothing to boast about. What do you think King David has to boast about in Psalm 51? I was born of the tribe of Jesse, the kingly tribe of Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah, that's what I am. He didn't say that. He said, I was born, conceived even in sin. There's nothing good in me. Yeah. We deserve nothing. Right. So, praise the Lord for the priesthood. He gave us everything. Are we glorious and beautiful? Only if you put on the garments, okay? If you don't put on the garments, you're ugly. Fleshly. Full of ourselves. unworthy to serve God. But praise the Lord, He saved us. Yeah. Paul could have boasted if he was not saved. He had a lot of things to boast about. So at the end, he had nothing to boast about, except that he was a chief sinner. I could imagine Paul when he thought back concerning his past, what he did, persecuting the churches, the Christians, putting them in prison, killing some of them. You think he can sleep well? No wonder he says, I was a chief sinner. Are we better? Maybe we didn't kill anybody, but we did a lot of things we shouldn't have done. If it's according to our life and living the way we lived before God, then none of us are qualified to be a priest. Right. So, praise the Lord. Treasure it. Treasure it. Yeah. May the Lord have mercy on us. Right. If it's just a matter of doctrine, then we can more be, oh, praise the Lord, I'm a priest. But if we consider the reality, then we will be thankful to the Lord. Who am I that you should call us and make us to be a priest? Because in ourselves, none of us are qualified. Yeah. It's good. This is why we need to be humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to humble ourselves before the Almighty God. So praise the Lord that in spite of what we were, we can be priests today. Not by our own virtues, not that we deserved it, but by His grace and His love, His mercy. We can be priests today. And the most wonderful thing is being a priest, to enter into the Holy of Holies, to be in the presence of God, to have intimate fellowship with Him, to bring Him and offer Him His food. This is the reward given to Zadok. Unfortunately, at the end of the Old Testament scriptures, God has to rebuke them. But if you go to Ezekiel chapter 44, you see the end when the Lord came back to this earth. He dealt very severely with those Levites who were unfaithful. God even told them they cannot enter into the sanctuary to stand before me in my presence. Only Zadok and his descendants, because they were faithful, faithful priests. Now, if the Lord, at His coming, would deal like that with the earthly priesthood in Israel, you think He will not deal with the heavenly priesthood? If we are unfaithful today, when the Lord comes back, then everything is okay. Dream on. Dream on. So the Levites who were unfaithful, serving those who left the Lord
and worshipping idols, and the Levites is helping them to serve the idols, foreign gods, and all these crazy things. You think the Lord will reward them? Yes, it's a different reward. It's a negative reward. According to their works. It's also a reward. Reward is what you deserved. Yeah. Serious. So they can only serve outside in the outer court, clean the floor, scrub the floor, watch the door, right? And to serve the food to the people, and to do this and do that. Well, maybe they love to be active. We Christians like to do a lot of things. But only Zadok and his descendants can enter into the Holy of Holies to bring food to satisfy the Lord, the King, and to be in his presence.
Wow.
Whoa. Amen.
Amen.
Don't you like?
I love that.
So you better follow the example of Zadok.
Amen.
But even then, in a millennial kingdom, the Lord shows them what to do and how to serve properly. Every time they went into the holy place, they should put on the holy garments, the priestly garments. That is a must. You cannot enter in without wearing that. So remember to appear before this great high priest, even the King of Kings. Just remember what our brother said, right? To appear, entering into the White House before the president, right? He's even reluctant to go in, right? You're right. Ah, Lord Jesus, the holiness, the sanctification. You can read it yourself beginning in Ezekiel chapter 44. Right. And one reason, I'll just mention it because we don't have time anymore. Why is it that a priest, when they serve in the holy place, they should not wear anything that is woolen, but linen? Why? Because they are not allowed to sweat. What does sweat mean? When is the first time that sweat was mentioned in the Bible?
Genesis.
God cursed the earth, and what does it have to do with Adam?
He has to work hard.
You mean say the earth is sweating?
No, Adam is.
Of course Adam is sweating, not the earth. Meaning to say that you cannot serve God with your own strength. You sweat. It's hard work. If serving the Lord is too hard for you, you're sweating. Then you better quit your job. Serving the Lord should be a joy. With the Lord's strength and in the Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, I think, God whom I serve in the Spirit. I serve in the Spirit, in the gospel of His Son. If you're serving according to the flesh, you'll be sweating. It's so hard. Oh, I have to do this. I must do that. If you feel you must.
Yeah.
Then you should rest a little bit. Change your clothing from woolen clothing
to linen clothing. There are many little things, sundry laws, that I don't have time to talk about it. But please, you know, you have the outline there. Look into it and learn to apply it. Yeah. When we serve the Lord, we must serve through the Lord Himself, Christ in us. Don't use your own strength, use your own ways and methods. And we have a lot of ways. What ways did the Lord use? Nothing, just suffering. And it was God doing the work in him. Now the Lord says, the work that I've done, it is not I, but my Father in me, He's the one who does the work. Even the words that I have spoken to you, it is not me, oh, taking weeks of preparation then I speak. No, he says, it's the Father who speaks in me. The Father. He only did what he sees the Father is doing. And that's why he only glorifies the Father. He didn't get the glory. He didn't say, I did this, I did so many things, I did so many wonderful things. He didn't say that. He said, I did nothing. It's the Father in me. If that is the way we serve, then it is very easy. Then there's no sweat. Then everything just flows out of the Spirit, out of the Father Himself. The Son, He said, can of Himself do nothing. But we are very capable. So if you want to serve God, don't be so capable. The less capable you are, the more you can serve. Very different than our natural concept. That is why many of those who serve so much, they are so proud. Right. Paul says, I have done more works than all the other apostles, yet it's not I, but the grace of God in me. It's wonderful. He didn't say, I'm so capable. I've done so much for God. I deserve the reward. No. He said, I've done more than other apostles, yet it is not I. It is not I. That's a wonderful realization. He was not sweating, but the grace of God in me. This is the priestly service. Right? God, whom I serve in a priestly service in my spirit, in a gospel of God, in a gospel of the Son of God. That word priestly service is not a service of a servant, but a service of a priest. It's a priestly service. So may the Lord help us.
Amen.
Amen. There are many other wonderful points there. Oh, maybe one more point I'd like to remind you, which we all need to know. God told his people that the priests, when you all enter into a good land, they will have no what?
Inheritance
in the land. Oh, you want to be a priest without inheritance in the land? So where are you going to live? Who's going to support you? God promised them, because God says, I am their inheritance. We need to realize this. If you have God as your inheritance, what do you have?
Everything.
You prefer just to have a little piece of land? Okay, maybe a bigger one. A portion of the good land, so that you can have a nice farm, raise cows, and all kinds of wonderful fruits. Right? Would you like that? Yeah, he's considering, right? Why not, right? But God is their inheritance. I was encouraging the saints here in Fountain Valley by a children's song, which I want to encourage all of you here, that I learned in school. You know, when I was in school, I had a physics teacher who loves to teach some children's song to us. But he was a physics teacher teaching songs. Can you imagine that? Maybe that's why I'm not good in physics. He taught us a song, quite a few songs, but one of them is very impressive. It is based upon Psalm 50. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills.
Amen.
The wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills. The sun and stars that shines. Wonderful things that more than tongues can tell. He is my Father, so all is mine as well. So he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I know that he will care for me. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. Wonderful things that more than tongues can tell. He is my Father, so there's mine as well, so they're all mine as well. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. I know that he will care for me. How about that? Don't you want God to be your inheritance?
Amen.
He owns everything. What do you own? A house, are you happy? A car? A bank account, are you happy with that? So God is our inheritance.
Amen.
That is one of the special points that I want to encourage you all. God promised, I am their inheritance.
Amen.
Okay, Manu? You lack something? No, wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
Well, bless the priest.